This podcast was recorded live before a studio. Well, okay, it was a pub audience, and all things are recorded live. So this podcast was done at Mondo Beer and Pizza on the south bank of the Thames with special guests Scott Siemens and Matt Benson, two Cardinal fans here in London, and also Russell Easom, one of the hosts of Batflips and Nerds, a UK-based baseball podcast. So those are the voices that you're going to hear, plus mine. We are all there at Mondo Beer and Pizza in the Borough Yards, right nearby Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, just off the Thames, a walk across London Bridge from the Monument Underground Station. So that's the image, hopefully. Here's the podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould. Today in London at an area they call the Borough Yards. Did I nail it?
Yeah.
All right. Nailed it. At Mondo Beer and Pizza. Mondo is a brewery here in London that has a St. Louis native as one of its co-founders, and I'm joined here by baseball and Cardinal fans who live in London, and I want to get a sense of what it's like to kind of chase baseball from abroad and deep into the middle of the night. So I'll start by, if you guys can introduce yourselves, I'll pass around the kind of recorder here and we'll introduce you all, everybody get your voice, and then get a sense of, say where you're from, and maybe how you became a Cardinal fan.
Hi Derek, I'm from Lewisham in South East London. That's where I live now, originally from Cheltenham in Gloucestershire. I became a Cardinal fan back in 2011, but in Britain it's really important not to be a glory hunter, as we call it. And I became a fan when they were way out of that postseason, and there was no chance of them even making the postseason, let alone win the World Series. That's when I became a Cardinal fan.
And you did by attending a game, right?
So my girlfriend at the time said we were going out to the US for the first time. My family are big into baseball. You need to pick a team. And I was like, okay, fine. And the choices between the Cubs and the Cardinals. She was a Cubs fan, but the rest of her family were Cardinals fans. I happened to go home a couple of nights later and there was a TV channel called ESPN America in the UK at that time. And I watched a game against the Cincinnati Reds, and the Cards had to be playing. And basically, I picked the Cards at that point. Matt Holliday hit two home runs, had a really good night. I didn't know who Albert Pujols was at that point because he was on the IL at that point. But Matt Holliday was the man who, dragged me in at that point.
But by October, you had learned who Albert Pujols was.
Yeah, although, so I was at a game at Wrigley Field where the Cardinals beat the Cubs 6-2, last game in a three-game series at Wrigley Field that year. Two home wins hit by Yadier Molina, who's definitely one of my favourite players. One hit by Albert Pujols. I happened to be in the toilet when Albert hit his home run. So I didn't see him hit a home run until he was wearing an Angels uniform, which is disappointing.
But you saw some... Oh, in person.
Yeah.
And how did you... Well, okay, introduce yourself, and how did you become a Cardinal fan?
Hey, I'm Matt. I live in South East London as well. I've been a Cardinals fan for, say, 15 years or so. Basically, first game I ever went to in the US. So my dad's a massive American sports fan. Went over to the US on holiday, went to see a Cardinals-Tigers game. Dad's a Tigers fan. Cardinals won, so easy choice for me. And then kind of been a fan ever since. So, yeah, had the joys of following in the UK ever since then.
Was it that a game at Detroit?
Yeah, that was at Detroit. I'd have to check my timings, but yeah, probably looking at maybe 16 years ago, something like that.
So. Well, post the 2006 World Series, so you didn't happen upon a great World Series game.
Sadly, no. I wish it was then. That would have been amazing if that was my first ever Cards game. But that would have been a much better story. But hey, yeah.
And also joining us, and don't forget to just. Just drop the name of it. Yeah, plug your podcast here. All right. So, and then finally, the third person joining us here at the Mondo Beer and Pizza Pub.
Hi, I'm Russell. I'm from a podcast called Bad Flips and Nerds, which is a British take on baseball. I'm not actually a Cardinals fan.
You're not, yeah. This is the baseball fan in the conversation.
Yeah, I'm actually a Guardians fan. I watched a lot of baseball when I was a little baseball when I was younger. There used to be a program called MLB on 5 when we only had 5 channels, like in the UK. My dad would record the games and would watch basically one game over the week. He would have his like half an hour of allotted TV time a week, and he'd just slowly watch a game over the week. So that's what kind of told me that baseball like existed when I was younger.
Wow.
And so probably like, and then in like the mid 2010s, I really got into baseball when I kind of got a bit knocked off with some of the British sports, and I decided that, you know what, like let's go all in, let's see what this stuff is actually like, try and pick a team, pick a city. So I chose a team, I chose a city of losers, which was which was, the Cavs were bad because LeBron had left, the Browns were always bad, and the Indians at the time were not very good. So Cleveland became my passion. But obviously, I'm a stats nerd because I'm a data analyst or a friggin' data scientist in my day job. So as soon as I found that part of baseball, I was ingratiated and I was probably hooked in forever.
So we'll start here then. What does it mean to have baseball come to you? You know, you've been a fan longer than baseball has been coming to London. This will be the second time that teams have come. The first time two National League teams have come. Alas, the pitcher won't hit. But you missed out on that. So close to having a non-DH game in London, but it doesn't work out. So what has it meant to you to have baseball come here?
I think a little bit, it's like, it's some acknowledgement from MLB that this fandom actually exists. Like, there is baseball that is played in Europe. There is professional leagues in like in Italy, in Germany, in Holland, in Czech Republic. There are non-professional leagues like in the UK as well. There's a lot of people who actually enjoy the sport, and there are quite a few people who are very passionate about like following their teams, which have managed to find each other thanks to like social media existing, like especially like Twitter and Facebook. And people like, it's how I know these guys who are Cardinals fans, how I met Derek. He came on our podcast like when this was first going to be announced back in like 2019. We're looking about how amazing that could be. So yeah, having that acknowledgement, we'd seen the NFL come over, we'd seen NBA come over, and it was like, is MLB going to do this? And then obviously having that London series back in 2019 when it was the Yankees and the Red Sox, it was like, oh, they mean business, because they brought over like two of like the biggest franchises we ever had. And then it was like going in 2020, it's going to be the Cubs and the Cards, which is like, yeah, this is a storied rivalry as well. So they're trying to really go with it. I'm just glad that it's actually happening this year. That's probably like the other side of it. It's yeah. It just kind of feels like the final part of the pandemic has come full circle, because we actually get to watch these two games of baseball.
And for you've watched Camo X, or you've not watched, but you've listened to the Cardinals from afar through Camo X, right? Like, that's been your big connection to them.
Certainly, yeah, how I started. I didn't have MLTV at the beginning. Like, I listened to KMOX. I used to... and then the postseason in 2011 was shown on UK TV, so I would pause it and then, like, time it perfectly against the KMOX so that I could listen to the KMOX broadcast of the thing.
That's amazing. That's great.
It's bad when it's the other way around. If KMOX's ahead of the TV, then it all goes badly wrong. But yeah. but usually that works. So what was the question, Derek?
No, just
I could have asked a better question. What is it like to know that KMOX is going to be broadcasting from a ball game you'll be attending?
I think the thing I'd say is all of this just feels like an added bonus. Like, I love following the Cardinals, and when I started following the Cardinals, the idea they would ever come to the UK wasn't even on my radar. But it is so exciting that they are going to be here, that everything involved, that you are here, like everything involved in the St. Louis Cardinals is here in London is so exciting. The fact that the Cubs are going to come here is like our storied rival is just thrilling. Like, and I think, yeah, it's a bonus. It's all a bonus. Like, if they never came, I'd still be a Cardinals fan. But they're here, and it's exciting.
Did you expect the Cardinals to be in this group when the Yankees and Red Sox are the first one? Because, of course, it was the Yankees and the Red Sox. But when it was like, okay, they might do more of these, did you harbor hopes that the Cardinals would be?
Yeah, for sure. I guess like when the first series was announced, you always expect it's going to be like the massive, like the biggest rivalries. Yeah. Yankees Red Sox makes sense. Then you're kind of expecting like a Dodgers Giants. But yeah, like the Cards Cubs is such a big rivalry. You kind of hope that it's going to be on the cards at some point. So when it was announced for 2020, it was super exciting. Like everybody over here was ramping up. All the Cardinals fans were looking forward to getting it over. Sadly, COVID kind of pushed that back. So when it was then reannounced they were coming back in 23, it was a massive plus, and then essentially gets all like the excitement going again. And then although it's a very different team now than it maybe was in 2020, but it's it's still awesome just to have the team, have the fan base, have everything kind of over here and get it re-going again.
Do you have any sense of whether the Cardinals, I'll ask all three of you this, do you have any sense of where the Cardinals fit here? Like, are they're not necessarily perceived as a global brand. I can walk through Piccadilly Circus. I can take a flight out of Heathrow, and I'll see a lot of Yankees hats, of course. Might see some Cubs hats. Might see some Dodgers hats. Cardinal hats aren't going to be plentiful, if at all. And yet, back in the States, they've won more championships than any other National League team. So I want to ask, we'll go around the table here, like, what's your sense of where the Cardinals fit sort of in the British view of American sports?
Yeah, I think it's, as you say, you walk around London and you'll see tons of Yankees hats, and it's like I'll be walking around and even you see like, I don't know, you see like someone in a D-backs hat and be like, oh, you're a baseball fan, and the guy will turn around and be like, what? No, I just bought this hat in a shop because it looked cool. I'd be like, oh man, not even a baseball fan. But yeah, so on the rare occasion you see someone in a Cardinals jersey or a hat or something, it tends to be a genuine fan. But yeah, it's not like the kind of flashy big franchise like the Yankees or the Dodgers or whatever. But to have them over here with such the big history, I think hopefully the UK guys will kind of get on board with it going forwards.
The Red Sox are the real problem, not the Yankees. When you see a Yankees cap, you know they know nothing about baseball. When they wear a Red Sox cap, you know they're probably a baseball fan and they know all about it. And they think that they're the underdog and they've won four World Series since 2000. Like, and yeah. Two against St. Louis. Like, you know, these guys. Anyway, I'll cheer with the Boston chat. What to say? So, like, come back to me, sorry.
You talk to Russell. You talk to a bunch of fans. You guys have. I think on your podcast, you have a lot of different fan bases or fandom represented. Where do the Cardinals fit in that equation?
Yeah, I think kind of. If you actually talk about UK fandom, there are obviously kind of like Yankees are well represented. It's kind of a fairy thing to be like to go to New York. Actually, like the Toronto is a very well kind of sponsored thing because you've just got Canada. We actually have quite a lot of Cubs fans, which may not be like the best thing. Maybe that's Chicago's got, but also like the Florida teams are actually quite well supported, like in the UK, just because it's a popular holiday destination. So some people might come across the Marlins or come across the Rays because of that. Like there isn't from all of the community meetups that we have. There's no like one team that is massively stand out as like everybody supports this team. Everybody has usually a fairly unique reason why they support a team. But it does mean that, like, if a team puts the right effort in, they could really kind of capture that market if they wanted to. Like, to me, like, whenever I think about, like, St. Louis, they've had their area, their market, and they've really worked on kind of, like, that we are the team for this area. And they don't seem to worry about, like, everybody else. So them kind of being the home team for this really felt to me that this was them trying to push out of to be like, you know what, like, let's show the rest of the world a bit of like what makes this part of America love this team. And so can we do that in like the UK? Can we kind of become one of those teams? Hey, like, if you know, like in the NFL, like the Jaguars have become the team that comes over to the UK more often than anybody else. They kind of have one of their teams come up games every single year. And so yes, like the Jaguars fandom in the UK has actually slowly increased because of that, because you can do that sort of thing. So I don't expect the Cards to come back every single year, because I just don't think that's not in the cards. But like, sorry, very bad pun. But yeah, I feel like there is, if a team was to go into hole in on like trying to capture this market, trying to put a lot of effort, I really believe that any MLB team could do that, because there is a gap for them to go after.
Yeah, and so I think I can hop on what Russell's just said there. The thing, if you're picking a team in the abstract in the UK to compliment Cardinals fans, I think that the Cardinals are a great team to pick. The best podcast in baseball is slightly tongue-in-cheek, I imagine, for the sort of the BFIB thing. And sometimes Cardinals...
Just slightly.
I don't know how slight that really
is. I don't know how many other podcasts there are out there. So, there's seven. So I thought best was okay. Like, we're going one for... But no.
But St. Louis fans do not see themselves as the best fans in baseball in quite the same with the seven caveat. But equally, like, having been to St. Louis, they really love the Cardinals, right? Like, if you like baseball and you're into baseball, this is a city that is really obsessed with baseball. Like it has the top, the second highest attendance for a reason, right? Like, it is an exciting city to embrace. There's a reason why at times it's been seen as the America's team, right? Like St. Louis. Its other sporting teams are not quite as storied as the Cardinals, and it's that is a reason to get behind the Fangers, I think. Like, it's exciting.
I find it interesting that, like, you guys have obviously been introduced to Cardinals baseball by a father, by a girlfriend, by a fondness for baseball, though you didn't become a Cardinal fan. But and then you were describing like Florida, right? That has an attachment for some British fans because of where they vacation. Like, at no point in time in the Yankees, because maybe the logo is cool and prevalent, but y'all didn't mention like championships. Like, is that not like, well, is it not resonate, or is that not part of the conversation?
So there's two sides to that. I think there is a very, if you follow sport or follow other British sports, there's something that's called like glory hunting, which is the concept. Which is a concept of, if you go,
we've been introduced to that twice now.
Yeah. If you didn't really support a team and then they go on and start winning and then you support them, like in the UK we would call that person a glory hunter, because they've just kind of, oh, this is a really good team, I've chosen to follow them because they're amazing. So in some circumstances, yeah, it's a little bit of gatekeeping on the sport, but you're kind of just kind of knocking them down for being like, hey, you could have chosen anybody, but you're just like, oh no, the best team, I love the best team, that kind of the way to go. So I feel a lot of British people won't go via that route. Yeah, it is easy. Like, you could become a Yankees fan if you followed baseball maybe like in the early noughties or whatever. You would have been like, you would have been a Yankees fan. If you follow baseball right now and you want to choose the best team, regardless, if somebody became a Dodgers fan, it wouldn't be kind of, you wouldn't be hard to kind of say that that's like a bad decision. But I just, for British people, I think it is difficult to kind of just go out and support the best team. So everybody comes up with a different attachment to a city for different reasons. If you spoke to, over this, like, the time that you're here, if you speak to 20 different people, I imagine you'll get 20 completely different reasons for why they chose that city. It could be going on holiday, it could be something that their parents said, it could be literally that they were staying up till like 5 a.m. because of insomnia while they were a student, and this was what was on the telly. Or, like, there's a guy who I do the podcast with who supports the Giants simply because he got into fantasy baseball before he got into baseball, and Tim Lincecum won him a fantasy season, and therefore he was like, okay, now I'm a Giants fan just because of this. So I think people don't just go in for titles, they don't go for the glory.
So you... I'm gonna take a leap here. So you're saying the Cardinals are playing the long game by coming in at least 10 games under 500. That this was all part of their plan. They're gonna come in, say they're struggled this year. They're gonna woo the fans to their side and then show them the thrill of a second half. Right? That's what's going on here.
Yeah, I think the UK loves an underdog, and sadly, at this exact point in time, the Cardinals, based on the standings, are probably the underdog, being a couple of games under the Cubs. Maybe that's the way to get British fans on board. And although it might be a heavier Cubs fan base in UK at the moment, then maybe by the end of the series we can kind of woo the British fan base who aren't necessarily baseball fans into being Cardinals fans longer term, and yeah, see how that goes.
Where have you gone to chase Cardinals baseball? What does it mean to, how do you keep up with the team?
So I've been to see games in the US. So I've seen games at in St. Louis, in Wrigley, and at in Toronto as well. And then, yeah, the extent of watching a game in the UK is due to the joys of time zones, you either love your Wednesdays and Sundays because they tend to be the earliest start, so that's your afternoon games in the US and like a nice 6 p.m. game in, at home, or yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night if you can't sleep very well at like 3 a.m. and watch the end of a game. So yeah, that's kind of the joys of being a UK fan, I think.
Is that also like your, I mean, are you saving games on to watch later, or are you finding yourself waking up in the middle of the night to check on the score?
All of the above in different circumstances. To do games that I've seen live in person, I think one that stands out for me, so I did a PhD back in the early part of the last decade, and I when I was coming up to finish, I was like, I want to go to the US and I want to see my Cardinals play baseball. And I went to, and I remember flying into Cincinnati, and the flight was delayed, and I thought I wasn't going to make it, and the next day it was raining, and like, oh, it's going to get rained out, and I've come all this way to see them. But when they took the field in that rain, I genuinely got extremely emotional, just like having seen these guys on the field again for the first time in 4 years at that point. That was pretty magic back in 2015. In terms of like in the UK, it mixes. During that PhD time when I could like stay up late, like I could stay up, put the game on at one, I could do some writing up, it was great, and I could do that. West Coast games was almost a relief because I'd be like, nah, that's too far, you can't wake up at 3 a.m. But then if you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a game just starting in the West Coast, hey, why not, you know, stick that on your radio, it's 3 a.m. And then suddenly you find yourself going to, I remember a game against Arizona where I'd started listening to it at like 4 a.m. and it was still somehow going on at 9 a.m. because it had gone into like the 18th inning.
Yeah, I remember that game,
walking through the office, and I think we lost. And I remember just being suddenly downtrodden by it. And that's the other thing about being a Cardinals fan in the UK. Sometimes the first thing you know in the day is what happened the night before. Like, you check the box score when you wake up, and we lost last night. And then you reflect upon it at like 6, 7 p.m. Oh, I've had a bad day today, why is that? And then you remember, the first thing I did today was find out the Cardinals had lost. And I tell you, Derek, it's quite concerning, because that was, you know, most of my fandom, the Cardinals have had a winning record. If we're not going to continue that, then I might need to check my behaviours, or go
to a different shift, right?
Something like that. That would work.
You have that experience too, like where like you wake up, the phone buzzes with the score and changes your, that's fat. So like most folks are having a beer after they find out the final score, you guys are having coffee as you find, not to presume that you drink coffee, but the whatever morning beverage you have, orange juice, to as you get the box score.
Yeah, for sure. It's like a standard morning routine for me is wake up, check the baseball score from the prior night if it was a late first pitch, see how we've done. If it's a win, then happy days. If it's more commonly this year less so than that, then you take a look through the box score, see who's done well, see who want to kind of like scroll through like Twitter and all of the news feeds and see who's actually played well, watch the highlights, things like that, and then you kind of go on with your day like 30 minutes later. So it's like it turns into kind of like a morning routine of seeing how the Cards have done, and then you get on with your day from there, basically.
Does it change your day how they done?
Yeah, I mean, like if you wake up and we got trounced, then yeah, I mean, you kind of don't really start off in a good mood, I guess. But yeah, I like to Scott's point, you reflect at the end of the day and you're like, oh, I've had a bit of like a naff day, why would that be? And then you think about it and you're like, oh yeah, I woke up this morning, first thing you did was you check back on the prior day's result, the Cardinals, so you're kind of stuck on yesterday's game, but at least you know you've got another one coming up later on, so yeah, you can kind of work towards it. But there's like night day game days where you wake up in the morning, you catch a box score, you then watch the 6 p.m. game the next day. It's a good day for sure.
Is that different? You brought it up, like it's a daily thing. Is that a bit different to the rhythm of sports here, Russell? Does that set baseball apart? That, I mean, it's every day. I mean, Wimbledon is every day for a few weeks. But EPL is not every day.
No, like the only sport that potentially comes close is kind of cricket during the summer, because you might have like,
but that's just one game every day.
Well, that's one game that lasts for 4 days, and then you might have a couple of days off, and then you'll have another game that lasts for 4 days. So you kind of have that a little bit, but yeah, it is a completely to most British people, the concept of playing every single day is ludicrous. Like, it's one of the troubles I have when I try to get a lot of my friends into baseball. When I explain that it's like 162 games in a season, they're like, what? And it's like, no, I don't watch like every single game. You don't have to watch every single game. Telling somebody who watches, like, yeah, watches the EPL, but a game, like one game sometimes just doesn't matter, they don't get that, because like every game matters. Like, right. you can't think about like just a loss here or there doesn't matter. Like, the top teams in football lose 3 or 4 games in a season. Like, the top teams in baseball lose 60 games in a season. Yeah. So like the odd, like losing to the Baltimore Orioles like a couple of years back when they were awful, yeah, like that would make your day start bad. But personally, like halfway through the day, I would then just be like, ah, yeah, well, we're always going to lose like 75 games this season anyway. So if you can get yourself into that mood, you don't mind. Sometimes you hopefully have preferred that you lost to a good team compared to losing to a bad team, and you can be like, how on earth did that happen? Like, I think something that these guys didn't get into, which happens to me often, is sometimes I will fall asleep during a game. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, we were winning when I went to sleep. How on earth did we lose this game? Which is such a bitter experience. Like, you'll look at the MLB app and it'll be like, here's like 25 notifications for the game or whatever. And you're like, ooh, something happened today in the game's game. Or you'll be like, there was 3 notifications. Well, all I know, this was like a 1 or 2 nil game. Do I even want to check the highlights?
You make a noise as if you feel this personally.
There's another thing. It's worse to stay up and watch it, Russell. Like, when you think you're going to win, and then the bullpen this year, and then you're like, oh, no, okay, why have I stayed up till 3 a.m. to see us win this game out when I could have just gone to sleep, because perhaps some of this was a touch inevitable. I think the other thing I would say on that stuff is it's a totally different way of experiencing sport in the UK. It's the other thing about that. The fact that it is every day and that people are really invested in this, I think it's probably fair to say that county cricket, even amongst county cricket fans, doesn't have that level of excitement. The idea that each day you get to go again, and you get to try again, and maybe you've got a different guy on the mound that day, and you're going to, hope begins anew. That's a totally different way of experiencing sport to the sport where if you lose 3 games in the Premier League, you're not going to win the Premier League, right? Like, that's where it's been now. Whereas the fact that it's every day is just a totally different cadence to sport watching. And the UK loves its sport, and a sport like this is magic. I've occasionally gone to like T20 games of cricket in the UK, sort of an after work thing where you can watch people whack cricket balls. But no one cares enough. If people cared in the way they do about baseball, that kind of sport where it's every day, the summer, it's just magic. It's a totally different way of experiencing sport, and that's what's great about baseball.
Russell, do you worry at all, knowing, like, kind of staying plugged into baseball fans and with the podcast, that baseball lost momentum because of 2020 coming to London, that all of a sudden that Yankees Red Sox would be a one off and that it wouldn't return?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think kind of obviously, like, with the world went dark for sport for a while. There was a time where, like, as soon as the CPBL started in like Taiwan, like, me and my friends were literally watching like professional baseball in Taiwan for the first time, because it's literally the only sport that was playing.
Yeah.
So I do think that, yeah, it was so big in 2019 that like having it in 2020 afterwards could have been something too big to build on and continue on with that. If I'm honest, baseball in the UK got like the hardest hit when it was basically dropped for the London Olympics. So like, if baseball had been in the London Olympics, we would have probably had a semi-permanent venue built somewhere that would have been a training facility or used for the Olympics, but it got dropped basically for that Olympics, so we didn't get anything like that, which means that a lot of the teams that do play in the UK, their facilities are, if I'm honest, probably worse than Little League teams that you have like in the US. Like, there's a few places that have dedicated fields that are just used for baseball and not using for other sports, but most teams play in areas where they're literally putting bags out on a field and marking it out to go with that. So, yeah, I think baseball has a chance to progress in British fandom. I think there's enough to the sport that can make people do that. There's a lot of people in the UK like niche sports. There's so many sports that are out there. Obviously, football has its position that will dominate. And I think with the growth of some other sports like in the UK, we've seen what's happened with the NFL. We've seen what happened with NBA. But both of those kind of had booms in the UK in like the 70s, 80s and 90s, whereas baseball didn't have that. So it's kind of trying to really come out and say, hey, look at us, we're another sport as well, but it hasn't got that same kind of like buy-in of people who are in their probably like 30s or 40s who watched it when they were younger and now kind of going like, oh, I want to go it again. So it just needs to develop that opportunity and continue to do with that. Like I was saying to you earlier on this evening that if we were looking about this from purely a brand perspective, that the Cardinals should have brought Matt Kupaniak and had his debut. Yeah. He played for Team GB in the WBC this year. It's a story that would make the British newspapers talking about having like the first like player in a few years who's basically been born in the UK to actually make a major league game. So him having that debut here, like if they just wanted to brand it for that reason and they're not actually thinking about it like we're just playing two games, yeah, you do that, because what's it going to cost MLB and the Cubs just to bring a guy up for 2 days and then throw him back down to the minors?
Well, should they? Do you think they should?
I think it's a difficult one. I would do it from if I was MLB. I'm not saying if I would do it if it was the Cards. But it's like if MLB had control of it, I would say do it, because it gives them all of that branding, a huge thing. It gives some of that. The Cards could potentially use it and then roll it to become like the team of the UK, to be like, hey, look, here's a British born, someone who's born in London playing Major League Baseball. Like, as somebody who's followed like Team GB, like the kind of the face of the team for a long time had been Jazz Chisholm, because he played for us in back in like 2016 when he was like before he like made the majors. Obviously he didn't play in the WBC, and we're now seeing the likes of Harry Ford kind of taking this position as potentially becoming like the face of baseball and the face of like British baseball. But yeah, Coop could have had an opportunity to do that if the Cards had just decided to go all in on it. Like, they're not doing well right now. What is like demoting, I don't know, let's take for a joke, denoting Nolan Gorman for a couple of games and then just
send the National League, the team home run leader, the home RBI. This is we've been talking for a while, like, and we were in chat brain, as we call it, and I believe you've caught chat brain with that suggestion. Look, part of baseball is romance, right? So, you know, you get all that. So there might be some argument there that, like, you play to the romance of it. Has the brand recognition of being a Cardinal fan changed with the Cardinals coming here, Matt?
Yeah, I guess so. Obviously, with all the heritage of the Cardinals, the number of World Series, just the number of seasons above 500, it's a massive team, which probably all of that history isn't necessarily recognised by non-Cardinals fans in the UK. So that's something which us as UK Cardinals fans are trying to push a little more and getting people to actually understand all the heritage and the history of the Cardinals. And what a kind of, yeah, the romantic side of the club. And then from there, hopefully the series itself will bed in a nice little two-game sweep of the Cubs, and then that will be more than enough to get a lot of people on board, and then, yeah, create the fandom going forwards.
Scott, I want to ask you, as you like your gear, you came with a jersey on and a Cardinal shirt on. Matt's got a Cardinal shirt on too. But is that more recognizable now because they're coming to town? Has it ever been recognizable?
I need to be honest, right? Like,
preferably, yes.
Yeah, preferably. It's good, right?
This is not the least honest podcast in baseball.
One of the things that really annoys me in Britain, actually, is occasionally when they'll see the Cardinals on my shirt and they'll be like, oh, the Arizona Cardinals. It's like, yeah, there's a baseball bat across the middle of this. like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
So that would be one way of looking at it. I love the history of this franchise. I'm currently wearing a museal t-shirt. Like, I think there's so much, as someone who loves America and American history, there's so much to absorb and enjoy about the team. I think that both Matt and I are keen to make the best of this weekend and this week to build what we can in the UK for the Cardinals. And if I'm honest, it'd be good to get a little bit more interaction from the Cardinals centrally. It's notable that the Cubs have got a pub booked out for Thursday, and we have not done that.
Yeah.
So So that's a shame.
Except for the like local sports writer who showed up.
Yeah, we got Derek. You wanted more than Derek?
I have no idea where the Chicago Tribune is right now. So it's 1-0.
They're not at a pub in London hosting a podcast, buddy.
it's 1-0, and that's a fun one as well. 1-0. Like so many British baseball fans say 1-0, even though I love the Americanism of nothing. But it's 1-0 to the Post Dispatch versus the Tribune. I think.
I think it is interesting. So, are you gonna try to make people Cardinal fans? Like when you say make the most of this weekend, do you have a friend? Do you have somebody in mind? Like you're like, all right, I'm gonna draw them into this thing.
I think our first part is to bring those of us who we already know together actually a little bit more, and to build what we have and to form those connections with one another, because I think the best way to build a bigger group is to strengthen the group you've got and then grow out from there a little bit. It's a great team to support, and I won't do anything to discourage it, but I think we start with building what we have and then go from there.
What about you, Matt? Are you bringing somebody new to the games, or someone that you might draw into Cardinaldom?
Yeah, so, yeah, as I said, I first got into baseball was through my dad, so I'm actually going to the game with my dad, who will be rocking up in his, I think, like, 80s Tigers jersey. Nice. But, yeah, so that would be the other cool thing about the series, that everybody goes in their own team jerseys. So although it's a Cubs-Card series, you'll probably have, like, I don't know, 20% Cardinals jerseys, 20% Cubs, and the rest is just going to be, like, 5% of every other team, which is kind of cool. It's, like, a very UK thing, I guess, for these international series. But, yeah, I've got a load of friends who've got tickets just kind of randomly dotted around because they're into sports. They want to go see a new sport over here. So, yeah, trying to drill home that if you want to pick a team, then you should definitely go for the red over the blue in this instance. All the good reasons why you should do that. So, yeah, I there's a definite kind of push from my side, at least, to the Cardinals. But as Scott says, UK is hardly the biggest country, but everybody's like scattered everywhere. So just to get people together for a weekend is real nice. And yeah, just get people you talk with over social media and things like this all together in one place is really good, for sure.
When Major League Baseball last came here, it was high scoring, long games. Russell, how can Major League Baseball, through its style of play, capture the fans here? Because unless, correct me if I'm wrong, unless 4 hours and 50 minutes really did it for folks. Oh, yeah, that's true. The Ashes are going on. It's day 3. So maybe I'm wrong on this. But you know what a good base... I mean, we just talked about like what good baseball looks like. So what does captivating baseball look like? What kind of game do they need to captivate the fans?
Yeah, I genuinely think you need runs. Like I can use my sister as probably like a simple example. She saw a Dodgers game when I told her to go watch a baseball game when she was out in LA. She saw a 1-0 win. And she told me it was boring. I went and looked.
1-0.
My favorite game of all time is Games 5 of the NLDS, and like that's a 1-0 game. But Russ is right? Like if you want to bring people in, 1-0.
1-0.
Yeah, but like I went and looked at the game afterwards, and I was like, oh wow, Kershaw had like 15 strikeouts. It was like one of the greatest pitching performances you've ever seen. But because my sister had barely watched any baseball, it was difficult to kind of say that like, you just watched a phenomenal performance because it's so foreign to you. So you need to have something in the middle. Things happening on the base and run scoring. Being on the runs, base runs being scored, that sort of thing, like actually having things ticking over and happening, something which like the in-stadium noises and effects can happen for and can captivate people, it kind of has to happen. Like, yes, I think what happened in 2019 was too far. Like, we don't need to have, like, another 4-hour and 55-minute game. And thankfully, the pitch clock, I think, will pretty much eliminate that from being a possibility. It won't be a 9-inning game if it's gone 4-hour and 54 minutes. It'll be an 18-inning game if it's gone 4 hours and 54 minutes. But, yeah, runs need to happen. I would prefer you get one game where it's kind of a little bit run happy and another game where it's there's still some runs, but it's a tighter thing to see, kind of so you can actually kind of see something, actually get to see some... somebody maybe like actually close a game, because we didn't really have that in either of the games in the London series back in 2019. Both games were blowouts by the time that like relievers came into it, so you didn't have somebody trying to have a really like tense moment to actually kind of like to finish it out. So that kind of pressure and that enjoyment and like the temperature of the game could just build up to a moment. Like, we were both luckily at like the WBC, and you could see like when games get to ahead and have like this clear moment, it's like fascinating. So I'd love a game that's within a run or two and in the bottom of the ninth, and there's some people on board just to, obviously I think you guys would probably maybe prefer just a couple of nice wins for the cards so you can actually be a little bit closer to them of those teams. But if we have one of those moments where it's tense, everybody's built up to that atmosphere for the entire game, it'll be phenomenal, I think, for people's perception of the sport in this country.
Tension's building because in grand St. Louis style we're closing down the pub, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you guys about my pet theory. So I'm going to drop a pet theory on y'all and then ask you to briefly answer in classic sports writer fashion. I'll pontificate and you guys have like 5 seconds to answer. I'm just kidding. I'm glad you brought up tension. You know, Scott, you mentioned the NLDS, the 1-0 Chris Carpenter game to advance past the Phillies. It is my kind of feeling, one of the reasons why I like soccer and one of the reasons why I like baseball, football here, obviously, is the sustained tension. And that, like, American football and other sports don't necessarily have that. You know something's going to happen. You know in basketball there's a good chance they're going to score. You know in American football when that ball is going to be hiked and that there will be collisions that matter. You just know that. But in baseball, this might be the pitch that's taken. This might be the pitch that's hit for a home run. There's a... In football and in soccer, as we say in America, this might be the pass that's a jailbreak. This might be the corner kick that pinballs out or pinballs in. You just never know. And that sustained tension, I think, is like it's a common thread between the sports that I like. Do you guys see that? And is that a route in, like some common ground between the sports the two countries love?
The simple answer is yes, which is to affirm your theory. I don't know how long you've held it, Derek, but I'm happy to affirm it. I also love movies. One of my favourite kinds of movies. I love drama movies, like, you know, proper deep stories, and I love thrillers. And I think they bring those two things. Baseball brings those two things together, right? The ability for storytelling in baseball, that the focus on character is so great, but also the tension that it can create. I think you're right, and I think one of the interesting things about Russell's point is the argument that's always been made in the UK for why don't the Americans like soccer or football, as we would call it, is that there's not enough goals, and actually that's exactly what we've just said is sometimes the very best baseball. But I think the other thing that's really great about baseball is the variety. I used to be a season ticket holder of a club in Oxford back in the day, and the one thing that was less good about that is every single week I could tell you what that game was going to be like. And what baseball's not like is your pitcher changes every night. You don't know whether you're going to get blown out 15-3, you don't know whether you're going to win it 15-3 yourself, you don't know if it's going to be a tight pitching duel. That's one of the great things about baseball, is that there's so much variety, you don't necessarily know what you're going to see. And how can you sort of like display that variety over this weekend? That's a great way of building the game, is like showing that you can have great defense, great pitching, great batting. That's huge.
Do you buy into this notion, Matt?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ross is probably more the man to talk about this than me, but I love baseball because of the numbers behind it. Like, you don't get it in soccer, football so much. The, like, split up individual plays that you can analyze. And, yeah, that's the thing that, like, really interests me about it. And the fact that you can kind of break it down right down to each individual play, that's what really builds attention. Like, irrelevant of if you're looking at 1-0, 3-2, you're always looking at what possibly could happen. The mental tactics behind everything is what makes it for me super interesting, and what kind of keeps me really interested in every single play of every single game to just kind of keep it going.
And Russell, do you buy into my theory then?
I think it's weird because I think baseball does have some of those, like, it does have those moments. So there's a time where if it's like 3-2 and the bases are loaded, it's had that tension built to it. You know something has got to like happen at that moment. But there are moments in a baseball game where it's like the start of the game, it's maybe like nothing, and you got to the bottom of the order, maybe it's like the third time through, and I don't know, someone like Maldonado, like Marty Maldonado, jacks a home run off Garrett Cole, and you're literally like, what? Like, how on earth has that happened? Like, this dude is bad. bad. Yeah, he's just hit a home run off like one of the best players in baseball. So I think, yeah, I love baseball from an analytical point of view, but I also love the fact that it's a sport and it isn't just, the numbers don't just play out the game. The predictions for the season or whatever don't just come out. Like, it feels like it's an obvious baseball adage of that something, you'll see something new at a baseball game that you've never seen before. Like, never any time, how many times you've watched a baseball game, you'll see something completely ridiculous. And that's just, I think that's what I love, like, about baseball, that there'll be something that'll happen over those weekends where there'll be somebody new will become a fan of, like, one of the players of the teams who everybody here around this table will think, well, that guy's naff. But, like, they'll become an instantaneous fan of that person because they're going to hit 2 home runs over this weekend, or they're going to make an amazing play. And so you, without the context of everything's around this, you can be like, oh, like, this guy is, like, the greatest player in baseball, when you're like, do you not know that it's WRCR plus is, like, below 80 or whatever? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, when you just watch that game, you get enthused. So, yeah, I think it definitely could be the case.
What was the adjective that you used? Naft?
Nah.
I was going to say there's been a lot of words on this podcast which are probably not very that common nomenclature for the pod, but yeah.
Just nil.
Naff? Alright, naff.
Naff, poor, bad, like, whatever it is. Like, okay. It's me trying not to swear.
Is naff, like, is it against the league average, so it's set at 100? Naff is average?
Yeah.
So there's the naff line. Yeah, okay.
Calling someone naff, it's like you were generally saying that, like, they are well below your expectation levels.
Well, I hope that this gathering here, we did the podcast, I hope this gathering was not naff.
Oh, no.
Did I use it right?
It was not naff.
No, but I used it right. Right? Okay. All right. Well, Scott, Russell, Matt, thank you for helping me put all this together. Thank you all for being here, and thanks for the conversation. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Eric, and go Cards.
I'll keep that in.
Cheers, Derek. Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
A special thanks to Scott, Matt, and Russell for joining me at Mondo Beer and Pizza. And of course, the guys at Mondo Beer Plus Pizza, the two founders there of Mondo, including Thomas Palmer, who has St. Louis ties. More on that later. You've been listening to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you weekly at STLtoday.com by Closet by Design of St. Louis. You can find the best podcast in baseball wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the constant Cardinals coverage, including all of the coverage that the Post-Dispatch has planned from London and the London series between the Cardinals and Cubs, at STLtoday.com. The best podcast in baseball is also available on iTunes and through Apple Podcasts, where you can rate and review and give me your feedback on it. Also, subscribe to it. It's subscriptions that make the sponsorships possible, and sponsorships make this podcast possible, even internationally now, apparently. So here we go. London series coming up. We'll have more at stltoday.com, and hopefully more at the best podcast in baseball. Talk to you soon.
What's the score, Matt?
Sadly, we're 3-0 down at the minute.
Hi, this is Jeff Grunder from The Machine Shed. If you don't feel like cooking tonight, let The Machine Shed take care of dinner for you. Try the mouth-watering, aged-to-perfection T-bone steak or fresh grilled salmon. Cook just the way you like it. Have the salmon pan-seared in a white wine cream sauce or roasted on a cedar plank with The Machine Shed signature apple bourbon glaze. Now that's cooking. See you there for dinner tonight. The Machine Shed, I-80 and Northwest Boulevard, Davenport.